Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen and I'm broadcasting live from Los Angeles along with psychic and author Neil Baker. Hi, Neil.
Hello.
Good morning. Well, that was a jaunty hello. How are you doing today?
Okay.
Good. Well, it's Wednesday and here we are again on the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. For those of you joining us for the first time, Neil answers your questions on topics that are personal in nature as well as on psychic energy. And, of course, we love to connect with our listeners, so please give us a call on our show today, 914-338-0164, if you're interested in a reading. Also, join us on our Blog Talk Radio Network just by clicking on that follow button under the Neil Baker Psychic profile. You can also join us on our social networks as well. There's a link under our Blog Talk Radio profile to Facebook, Twitter, where you can find Neil at Neil Baker or Neil Baker Psychic. That's Facebook and Twitter, respectively. And, of course, there is his website, www.neilbakerpsychic.com. But the very best way to get a hold of Neil, of course, is by phone, 562-596-7818. And, Neil, we've been discussing on the show for the last, this is the third episode, of spirit guides, personal guides, spirit guides that are not personal guides that come into readings, and we're going to expand a little bit on the idea of spirits that come into readings to assist today. So, what do you want to say?
Well, you know, it's funny. I did two readings yesterday where there were spirits that came in. These weren't spirit guides. These were actually human beings that had crossed over. And they were in the spirit form, the vibrational energy spirit form. And so there were two different readings where there was specifics on that. And they were both male energies in their lifetime and both very, very powerful people. One was a rather renowned artist, and the other one was in his own right a very, very strong individual who was involved in many parts about life and was a very, very rich kind of human being, soul-wise, too. But how does one gather the communication when a person is trying to read someone who's crossed over? My form on it is that it's through vibration. What these energies actually do when they cross over is that they send a vibrational energy out. So it's not really, I mean, by the time it reaches the brain, my brain perhaps, it's coded into a language. So I actually decode or receive the code of a vibration and then thereby decode it into a language, or I mystify it into a language, and thereby I hear actually what is a vibration. It turns out to be words, and I can actually hear it as a voice in time. You know, so we're picking up on these rather subtle vibrational energies, but they are out there. Even Camus, Albert Camus was a famous existentialist writer, is one of my favorites. He wrote the novel The Stranger. His essays on the myth of Sisyphus are rather very, very poignant. He was an existentialist. Albert Camus said that the world is never quiet, even its silence eternally resounds with the same notes in vibrations that escape our ears. Now, Camus was not a psychic by any means. So he had nothing to do with the psychic realm. In fact, his idea, he was more of an existentialist, meaning that the power of energy is in man's hands. But yet there was something in this man's brain that alluded to something higher in the realms. And so I quoted him just because he's so vibrant, not only as a thinker, but also as someone who at the same time grasps the ideas that there are vibrations that escape our ears. And very briefly, before we begin to address our callers.
And I do want to call out the callers in queue just quickly so they know that we see them, area code 203 and area code 7203, first and second. We will get to you shortly, but go ahead, Neil.
You know, I want to use the brief moments in this hour to also instruct, because I'm a teacher at heart. And most of you may know this, but for those of you who don't, one of the aspects of the spirit, the main thing that's linked to the spirit is the brain. So I've studied the brain quite diligently. And on the first note today, I want to talk about the four brain waves. The first is beta. And beta is the fastest, really, of the brain waves. It's associated with alert waking states when your brain is aroused and engaged in mental activity. When you read in bed before going to sleep, you're probably in a low beta zone. The more intense the activity and arousal, probably the faster the frequency. So that beta zone is something that I adhere to when I'm really getting to the core issue of receiving a vibration and about ready to kind of demonstrate it as a language. The second part of the brain waves is called the alpha. Now, they're slower, and they appear when you're more relaxed or drowsy, and they have a kind of effortless alertness to them. And that's when you're more tranquil, like in light meditation, reflection, daydreaming, things like that. That's when these energies are most active. And they're kind of more associated with the creative visualization and the artistic and intuitive processes of life, as much as they are involved with the kind of the rest and the reclusiveness. Now, theta brainwaves, a third, they're even slower. And they're associated with the first stage of sleep, dreaming, deeper levels of meditation. And that can also involve creativity and imagination and recall, mystical states of intuitive perception. Those are the theta. They're almost trance-like. It's like when you're driving on a freeway and you kind of lose track of time, but yet you've been connected with kind of a free flow of ideas or visions that are surfacing upon your mind. Those are called the theta. Now, last of all, are the delta. They're even slower, and they're found during deep sleep, like sleepwalking, sleep talking, deep trances. The processes of self-healing can occur during the delta phases of sleep. So those four levels kind of work together. They each have a different energy field. If you look at them on a graph, they can be, a beta can be very... Delta are more erratic. They're more spaced out. Beta are more finely in tune with a line, with the meridian line. And then alpha and theta, of course. But the more that you get from beta to delta, the more you're going to see those brain waves fluctuate along a medium line. And that's where the energy occurs, you see. Because in a delta state, psychics get into a delta state because they can, in consciousness, almost fall asleep. And that fluctuation is almost like you're grasping something that permeates through the astral realm into something much higher.
Are you talking about astral projecting?
Well, astral projecting is a whole different element. That's leaving the body.
Okay.
And astral projecting does accumulate in its course of action through all the brain waves until you finally reach that delta state, and then your body takes off and it's out there. But astral projecting is a little bit different than perceiving the energy of a spirit or a guide or someone who's crossed over. Those energies do do seek your delta brain waves, because they're trying to find the deepest parts of your brain to connect to, because that's the vibration they're putting out. Now, what's interesting is that sometimes the spirit will try to, you know, they try to produce a vibration to in order to be heard. So actually, when I listen to a spirit out there, they're producing a vibration so I can pick up on it. And I was doing a reading with one woman, and I said to her, you know, this energy that I'm speaking to, he was a famous artist. This man was an artist, beautiful artwork. I don't want to mention his name on the line because of the privacy issue. But he produced such a vibration that he actually took out all the lights and electricity, including the television, in her downstairs room to where they just left. The power company couldn't explain it. Nobody had any explanation. Mm-hmm. And yet I knew he had achieved this. Well, he didn't mean to do it, but the energy was so intense that it happened, because he told me to tell her, the client that I was speaking to, I'm sorry for messing up your electricity. I was trying to produce such a vibration to get a hold of your attention that it got out of hand. So that's how much a spirit form can produce a vibration that can manifest in the immediate physical environment and present a course of action, in this case, taking in all electricity. Now, can you imagine that energy going into a human being where they have to perceive that as a language? That's what actually happens in the process of reading the energy of a spirit.
It's really a fascinating subject, Neil. And, of course, in our work together, we've had experiences where I've heard spirits manifesting, which, I don't know, does everybody hear that when they're around?
We're all equipped. We all have the equipment. But what we pick up is, you know, what we get is another matter. But we all have the equipment to do it. Now, some of us don't even realize when we're picking up the energy. One woman, a client of mine, recently asked me, you know, I know so-and-so's around me. I can feel the spirit. But, you know, why am I getting dizzy all the time? I'm really getting worried. I might have something kind of brain something going on. I said, no, when you're in the presence of a spirit, because she went to the doctor and the doctor said, nothing's wrong. So they did tests. So when you're in the presence of a spirit, you can perceive the energy of that spirit and receive it as a dizzy spell. You actually feel very dizzy. It just comes on like the floor has been taken out off of you. And you have it's very immediate, but it's very distinct. Sure, it can be a medical problem, but typically when a spirit's around, dizziness is usually felt.
I've definitely experienced that and certainly have experienced the auditory sensations of a presence. Probably the most difficult thing for me is the visual aspect. So I know they can appear in all those forms. I'm just really excited to develop that visual part of my awareness.
I had a client, you know, with that in mind, I had a client who was just a layman, and he was trying to explain something to him, and he said he was at a pool, and nobody was around, but he heard a child go, "Help! Help!" And he turned around, and
wonderful
there was...
dramatization.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, help, help. Yeah, I got that from drama class. 10th
Good,
grade.
Great. Great work.
Thank you. He turned around, nobody was there. So it was a public pool, but nobody was there. And he heard it again, double time. And he said to me, you know, it's really odd because I was at a public pool and I distinctly heard a child yelling, "Help," and nobody was there. And then I found out a week prior a child had drowned in that pool. And now this is just a layman who just came to me, and after the reading he said, you know, I'm going to throw something at you. I don't know what it means, but it's really weird, because he was just coming for a reading. He wasn't coming for anything other than that. He wasn't a psychic or anything. But, yes, we can pick up the vibrations of energy to our naked ear and our naked eye.
Well, perhaps on the next episode we can discuss how we can train ourselves to become more perceptive of these things. Right now I think we need to move into our caller list. And
okay.
I just want to call out the first – three numbers, 203, then 720, then 760, and then 352. All right. So here we go, Neil. Area code 203. Hi, welcome to the show. Are you there? Oh, I didn't unmute them for some reason. That didn't work. Hi, are you there? This is very interesting. I'm having a problem with the studio. Shoot.
Hello.
Hi.
203.
How are you?
Sorry, I don't know. There must be a problem with my browser because I clicked on that unmute button 3 times before it worked. What's your name?
My name is Todd, and my birthday is 6/28/77.
Okay. Hi, Todd. How's it going?
I'm well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And
yeah,
where are you
just
from, Todd?
Connecticut.
Okay, great. And what brings you to our show today?
Yes, I was just wondering what you see in terms of career moving forward for me.
All right. I will hand it over to Neil, Todd. Go ahead, Neil.
Okay, Todd. Let's see. You're 35 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Todd, you have a high karmic number. That's going to be at 40 years old. So your journey from now to 40 is going to be a significant journey. Believe it or not, there's going to be a kind of a late blooming in another breath of time. At the age of 40, you're actually going to be transforming your stage of energy to more of a transcendent theme of being, meaning that you're going to be doing your highest work of your life from the age of 40 onward. Your master number is 4, so your life goes in increments of 4 from birth to death. 40 is divisible by 4, so therefore merges beautifully. And at the age of 40, you're going to be going through a zone. Now, at the age of 36, you will have gone through 9 cycles of your master number, and I predict that this June, you're going through a change in life that will have a journey of about 4 years, maybe 2 with a midterm break, and then another 2 with another formation of 2 years, leading up to that 40th grand scale energy that you're about to approach. Now, you do have, Todd, a spiritual connection to the planet, meaning that you're down here on a physical element of life, meaning you're here to be involved in the world through karma, but your attitude in your brain and mind is to actually be in a spiritual realm, meaning that you're here to be of service to people. You really want to help your fellow human beings, but in a way that is so enlightening to yourself that you're getting gratification for it and also creative energy for it, because you're basically a creative person who does like to help, who does like to explain. You have some teacher element in you that will be incorporated in the kind of, quote, performance of your ambitions, and you have that energy. You're an intense human being, so therefore you have karma that has been involved in relationships, meaning that your relationships have been somewhat erratic and irregular, but somewhat intense in spirit. You do expect a lot out of people because you give back to people a lot in return. So you're a pretty good quality human being with a fine sense of integrity and commitment. I do believe that you have a way of advising people that has got to be further expressed. However, it's been going along that line. I think you have some frustrations with the planet because there might be some disappointments that you've experienced that may not have seemed totally fair to you. That's karmic stuff, Todd. There is some approach to college, some attitude of energy that was in the background of your life, I mean. So there was approach there. But so far, let's stop the ball for a minute. What's your connection to my statements thus far?
You are absolutely dead on. Absolutely. I completely agree with everything that you've said.
Okay, so what we've got to figure out, Todd, is there's 2 angles that you're about to experience. One is the destiny angle that says you're going to get what you're came down to experience. So in that regard, you don't have to do anything. The universe will bring to your table the experience of your next chapter. And it's going to happen because all the elements, you'll see, it's interesting the way we look at these things, Todd. You'll just see how they start to move towards you like a gravity field. They just start to move towards you, and people will come in, events will come in, and you won't be doing much of anything. Oh, maybe, of course, you have to go through the routines of life and be somewhat responsible and active and proactive, but these things will start to come towards you, and it'll be interesting the way you'll note them, because those are the lines of energy that are here permanently in your karma that you have to experience. So they're coming, and they're going to be approaching more and more as we get towards the age of 36 in June. Other things you'll start to activate. That means you'll start to promote. You'll start to plant seeds about your own self-creativity in the world you want to be in, which ultimately means that you're the master and designer of your job. Meaning that it kind of falls into the category of self-employment or self-creation. You're your own master. So the energy is going to formulate slowly into that, even though it may have the kind of camouflage reflection that you're actually working for someone. But it's going to be kind of mysterious how those two aspects play out.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm getting a very obscure symbol around you. It's like the buffalo on the old nickel. So I don't know yet what that means. Has anyone ever been involved in finances, financial advising, anything along that line?
No.
Why am I getting a buffalo nickel?
I have no idea on that.
No idea. And there's no coin collectors, nothing. No one had a coin collection. So far,
yes,
no.
My grandfather has had a coin collection that is mine. He passed.
Oh, okay. This is what I meant by the beginning of the show. Your grandfather saying hello to you.
that makes sense too, because I know he's one of my spirit guides.
Yeah. He is a guide. He's in spirit, and he is a sort of guide, so that's true. And he said hello to you by showing me, he said to me, no, Neil, it's the coin collection. Just get that across to Todd. I want to say hello to him. I love him. I'm connected to him, and I'm around. He also says, I support everything you told my grandson, and I'm here going to help them through that process.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Great. Great, Todd. Well, thank you for calling in today. We appreciate.
No, that was very powerful. Do you have a website?
Neil does have a website. Do you have a pen?
Mhm.
It's neilbakerpsychic.com. I mean, it's fairly easy. There's also a Facebook account, but really the best way to get in touch with Neil is by phone, because I actually am the person that manages all the online accounts. The website is pretty minimal, but if you have further inquiries, you know, you're welcome to call him at 562-596-7818, and you can definitely send a friend request on Facebook too, Todd.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Thank
you're
you,
very
Neil.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And Todd can also follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, that phone number, 562-596-7818. Well, the old Buffalo coins, it's like the Wild West.
The Wild West. You know, it's funny because we were talking about the way spirits talk to me, and thank God, fortunately, a lot of them seem to care for me in terms of, because what they do is they see, okay, you're giving a reading, you're here to really help people. We like that vibe, and so it kind of gets out there in the astral realm that spirits will come around, hang around me when I'm giving readings or when I'm giving a specific reading, or in this case, when I'm just giving a form of people out there, these spirits come around. And what's interesting is that, you see, he sent me a vibration that went to my brain, and my brain unscrambled the vibration and reformulated into an image of a coin with a buffalo. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what's all that about? And as I stumble through it, what happens is as I stumble through it, I'm actually walking closer to the spirit that's speaking to me. And then I can finally feel the impact of it saying coin collection. And it knows by that coded word that the recipient, the person that I'm speaking to, is going to be saying, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. So then we have a formation of energy. This is the beauty of the design of how we talk to human beings alive to one that's crossed over.
Mm. Great, Neil. Wow. I love it when spirits come into the reading because it's so interesting and they provide so much valuable information. And, you know, everybody loves to connect with the relatives that have passed, you know, and to reconnect in that way. And for you to be able to facilitate that is really wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. We've got Jane on the line. Hi, Jane.
Hi, you guys. I'm back in Colorado now.
Yeah.
At my home.
Great. Well, that's probably a bittersweet situation for you.
Yeah, that's my problem. I'm having a lot of melancholy. And I just want to see if there's any messages today.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry you're not feeling well.
What's going on, Jane? I mean, let's go ahead and share a little bit, a little bit of what the melancholy is about, okay?
Well, I had been out in Kansas for about 3.5 months and wrapped up my mother's estate, and everything should be wrapped up about 6 weeks from now in the probate, and the house was sold to be closed on June 6th. And I'm just having a hard time with it.
So is it the law? Yeah, go ahead.
Because it was a family house for 81 years, and I have a lot of memories there.
Yeah. Wow. That's the worst. The worst part of life is the physical vacancy, if you will, of someone we love and cared about. It's the hardest thing to get over. And even in the aspect of realizing that they can be on the other side and they're around us, I dealt quite heavily with this yesterday with a woman who had a very long marriage, beloved, blessed marriage with a man. They were total soulmates. And the physical absence of a loved one is the hardest thing to get through. It's very, very, very difficult. So when we stir up these emotions and we go through the experience, and we almost are compelled sometimes by the necessities of life to look face to face in the reality of what our experiences are with certain people, and we bring back those energies, those sentiments, those memories, and those recollections, what they actually do register above and beyond, Jane, is that you're a human being. This is what the experience of being human is about. You know that.
Yeah.
So, first of all, be thankful that you're operating on a human level. That's the first thing. And grasp that and understand that as a living form. Be thankful that you can be and moved in that, be moved in that, into that area. Number two, I wish people could realize how close energies are to us that have crossed over, if they haven't already come back to the planet in another life, yet another life to live, or they've gone on so far beyond into the astral realms that they're so far done with the earth that they just are having frolicking out there in the pastures of the wilderness of space. But a lot of them really vibrate and linger around us because once they're gone, another person's lifetime to them is but a flick of a match. Poof, that's it to them. And,
yeah.
You could live here 40 years. To them, it was like 40 minutes. So what they do is they feel the intensity of the energy. And if they're free-roaming spirits, meaning that, you know, they're not dealing with a lot of karma and they don't have to come back and they're not way out there doing other journeys in space and time or beyond space and time. What they do is they sometimes have license to kind of move around us and be around us. So in this regard, I probably sense that you're feeling the intensity of that energy, Jade. So rest assured the conversations that take place in your privacy of your own life are very vibrant and very necessary. So I always say, talk to the people. Don't talk as though there's some abstraction that you're talking to with some sense of validation that they once existed, and maybe they hear you, maybe they don't. A lot of these spirits actually do. And you know what feeds them is the attitude of the occupant that's speaking, the intensity of their faith, their ability to feel them, to know that they're there, to have that sense of reality that they're just as physically present as they are physically absent. It's two notions in one, but it resonates with the idea that you have faith that their energy is right around you. In that regard, you're actually feeding into the spirit energy, and that spirit can now give you energy back in a form of comfort, in a form of closeness, all this kind of thing. And so you have to look at that and talk and share moments as though you were really presently in view of the person that you're addressing. But aside from that, yeah, Jane, it's tough because it reminds us about the vacancies in our life and the sense of what it feels like to be connected and then suddenly be disconnected. It's a difficult thing to get through.
Yeah. Well, okay. I appreciate that, and I'll hang on to that and think about it, and I'll be in touch with you guys again very soon.
Yeah, the only thing she does say, Jane, there seems to be something that's really weird. I'm seeing a lot of green plants with no flowers. It's like all these green stems. Have you done any cutting of flowers? Did you put flowers out? Is there anything with green stems and a casement of where there's water, glass water?
Well, before I left her house, I noticed there was a lot of stems coming up from perennials that she had planted over the years, tulips and things, but there was not yet any flowers on them. So
you actually noticed that there were stems without flowers. You actually noticed that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's her way of saying hello to you, that she's present.
Okay. All right.
That was the vibration she chose to give me in regards to my posture at the moment, that she knew I would receive to give you a message that she's near you and that everything I said to you has validity.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. That's very comforting. And yeah, I'll be in touch with you guys real soon.
Okay, Jane.
Thanks, Jane. I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye.
Well, I think you helped.
Well, yes.
You know,
yeah.
That's an emotional journey to have to sell the home that you've been so attached to.
Oh, yeah.
Connected to your parents. Interesting.
Very intense. Very difficult. But again, you know, the vibrations of these spirits, you know, when they're active, they give clear messages. And yes, it's a difficult. That's such a difficult human experience to have to go through something like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, are you ready for another caller, Neil?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Area code 760. Hi, you're on the Neil Baker Psychic Hour.
Hi, this is Michael from Encinitas.
Oh, hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. And you've called our show before, right?
I called once before, yeah. I saw the show was on Facebook, so I called in.
Awesome. Great to have you. Okay, so what is your birth date, just to refresh my memory, since I don't have it right in front of me?
Sure. It's January 3rd, 1969.
Great. 4/14. Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah, you got a good memory.
I remembered that you were compounded, but I didn't remember the specific birth date. Okay, Mike, what's your question for Neil?
Well, I was wondering if you could help me tune into my career and some shifts and changes that are taking place.
Career.
Okay.
And shifts.
Career. Okay, Michael, let's see. In review, you're a 29/11/2. Wow, it's a difficult number, complicated number, intense number, complicated in many ways because of relationship energies. You're 44 years old, so of course you've gone through 22 cycles of your life, Michael, because your master number is 2, and you have a 1 and a 3, so there's a strong, and that becomes a 4. You have a 6 and 9 intensity there. I just want to ask you something, Michael. You know, in regards to just your interest level, if nothing else, maybe it goes deeper, but just an interest level, what is your connection to music? Music playing, instruments, everybody has some connection to music, but what's your connection to music?
I love music in during meditation, listening to that. I grew up playing guitar, and just recently I was trying to learn to play the piano, but I realized I didn't have time to really dedicate to it.
Well, you know, obviously I'm picking up on some vibration. I mean, music/meditation, there's a vibration. You played guitar when you were young, there's a vibration. And the fact that you were moved in some compelling way to try to revisit or take up piano is another vibration of music. There's 3 beats to the measure. And so I think that that's significant as we look at that as a footnote to the text of your life. Though, you know, footnotes, I always look at footnotes when I'm reading, because I think they're important. So these are the footnotes of your life that I'm connecting to music on these levels, the most recent being that you attempted to get involved in the piano, but also that you accompany with your meditation music. So you're going through a transition, Michael. You're going through a transition. As you move through the area of this transition, you're also approaching elements of your life where you're reaching backward into past lives. Because I do believe, let's just be entertaining for a moment, I do believe that you lived during Bach and Beethoven's time. They're, you know, Bach and Beethoven, German, but we're going different zones. Bach, of course, was before Beethoven. But we're going back into that time element. So there's something instrumental about that time zone that somehow you're still carrying in the journey of your life. You know, we're talking about chamber music. We're getting closely into the romanticists and all that kind of business. But we're getting into that area, that deep element of getting involved in life. Now, the fact that you also involve meditation with music means that there's a spiritual note to the elements of time that you have to connect to. So you've come down here to sort of make peace with the earth because of the turmoil of your karma in your experiences, Michael, as much as you're here to also transcend your karma to create a new element of your life. So I'm seeing that there's a website. I'm seeing that you're creating something that has to do with people coming to you via the exposure of your commercial aspect of promoting yourself. Now, when we look at just that line specifically, how does that in any way apply to your current interests?
Well, I have been hosting a meetup group, a meditation group, since 2008, and that's the only website that I have, but that's where people come and they RSVP and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, and It's an attempt full of integrity, high purpose, high aspiration. Good, good, good. Now, do you charge? Usually, meetup groups don't charge, but sometimes there's a nominal fee. Do you charge for your groups?
I have over the last year started doing $5 a head, which I found was really easy for people. But all the other years, I did it for free.
Okay. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get out of your current situation, and I'm going to travel further into the future. And I'm coming back like a dog with a bone. I'm coming back and saying that $5 I'm seeing is now $45. So there's something that you have to create, Michael, whereby you are offering a service where people are willing to pay $45, whether it's by a week or a month. And you're going to create an energy field, I think, that can at least be self-supportive on the first footing. Now, we're dealing with not concrete things yet. We're dealing with the projection of making, of actualizing something through a visual energy. But I've got enough foot in your life right now in my mind that I think I'm seeing something that can potentially be facilitated and actualized through the kind of serendipitous journey that you will take as you head towards that $45 figure. Now, this doesn't distract from you having any other interests or goals, but I'm telling you that on a spiritual line, this is what I'm being told to tell you as you promote yourself spiritually and also gain some sense of self-sufficiency.
Yeah, that all sounds about right. Thank you for saying that. I could feel deeply what you're saying. It's just that shift. I'm in the process of shifting right now, so it's really weird.
Well, don't worry. You know, Michael, you've come in on a journey of duality. So you're a 29-11-2. Those human beings come in on the earth with a tremendous amount of karma. So your journey is to sort of work through the karma, and at the same time you're trying to shift gears and get out of the karma. So you're doing two things at once. So that means as you're getting out of the karma, you're still working through it. So on a human level, you're going to feel a little bit confused and bemuddled and compromised, and all kinds of different ambiguous energies are going to enter your being. But in all actuality, if you keep your spiritual focus in tune, you're actually progressing. You're actually moving forward, even though it may feel confusing. But it's not really confusing, because you're working through the density of your karma as you're moving towards the light of your essence.
Well, you know what's been coming through me is about a month ago, I started writing little two-line incantations that are specifically designed for me to rewrite my own sacred contracts, to let them go and to rewrite them. And there's a musical rhythm to them as well. There's a, like, I feel there's a rhythm when you say them. So I thought that was interesting as well.
Yeah, because right before you said there was a musical rhythm to it, you're recopying the elements you did when you composed music in the 15th, 16th century. You're actually going through that action, but now in this lifetime it's turning into a vocabulary of language, but it still resounds and echoes with the element of musical interludes that you put into your compositions in a past life. So they are notes, so to speak. They're just forming and morphing into a language that now takes on a spiritual essence. You know, music in its original form was connected to spirit and was connected to the primitive gods and the primitive nature and all that, and then it morphed into odes to God and spirits and angels, and then it just formulated throughout time into more post-dramatic things, like as we got into different kinds of composers that branched away from religion and got more into the aspects of just the language of the cosmos, or the language of primitive being, you know, like Stravinsky, when he reached backward in time and really became a primitive, innovative composer, and then did the Rite of Spring and caused a riot because of those primitive tones that he established, which really had more to do with the ritualistic aspect of mythology and sacrifice than it did any ode to God, per se. So you're in an element now of dealing with the combination of your own ego, but as is expressed on a spiritual being or level of interpretation. So actually your ego now, you survive going through your ego, but not at the sacrifice of being spiritual. So that's
right.
What you're getting to the essence of, and I think you're on the right foot.
Can I share my last incantation that I just wrote with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
it was around anger and issues of anger. So it goes like this. Let me see if I can remember it. It's been a few days since I said it. Yes. Lessons of anger I've learned from you through sacred contract through and through. I now command your release. I replace you with love and peace.
That's beautiful. It's got a, you're right, a beautiful rhythm, a friendly rhyme, and a message. And it the message is both egocentric as much as it can speak to people who can relate to it. So it's a beautiful little passage, Michael, and you can compile this. And in today's world, through the internet and self-publishing and all kinds of things, you can make this into a feature of your life. So I applaud your efforts.
Thank you. And thank you for letting me share. I appreciate that. That was
yeah.
You're welcome, Michael. We appreciate your call. Thanks so much for tuning in today.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for hosting the show, and I'm going to go back and re-listen to this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Thanks, Neil.
You bet. You bet, Michael. Well, it is important. I think the element of interpretation and perception, the process of sharing not just my thoughts, but, you know, my thoughts come from a higher place. I'm just channeling something from a higher energy, focusing specifically on it, and then just going through the process. Now, sometimes what happens, what's weird, is my experience as a psychic always sort of reaches a emotional wall.
And I can see that it's happening today.
Yeah.
What exactly is going on?
Well, you know, what happens is, you know, we have to transform our consciousness. So we transform our consciousness through a liquid state. So what happens with me is that when I'm dealing with a spirit or a guide, the experience becomes very watery energy, very emotionally induced energy that almost feels like I'm turning into a liquid state. It's very strange. Mm. But it seems to be the process that spirits and guides put me through in order to receive a message, you see. So it's just something that this has happened since I was a boy.
Right, but specifically today, you are more, throughout the readings we've had on the air, you've been more in that liquid state. So is there a reason that's happening today specifically?
Well, it seems to be like there's a couple of more spirits gathered around me today. So, you know, the room gets tense, it gets tight, and I have to kind of consciously think to myself, my God, how do I perceive the energies of so many different kinds of spirits? So you put yourself you have to put yourself into a liquid state, because if you're too solid, you're too rigid.
Mm.
And if you're too rigid, you're not open to the elements. It's like someone who's stubborn. You have to remove yourself in order to perceive the message. Mm. So I have to remove my ego, and in that process, it becomes liquid.
Okay. Well, we've got one more caller, Neil.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Psychic Hour. Who's this?
Andrea. I am not happy camper right now, and I was wondering if you had any messages for me.
Well.
For me, 11/12/82.
11/12/82. You're not happy, and we've got, we've got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Why aren't you happy? What's going on, Andrea?
Well, you said that you see me moving before September. I need to move, like, yesterday, and or I would have a place to stay. So I guess till September, I'll be homeless until then, I guess, with my kids. I suppose, on top of the other things that are going on in my life with my ex. That's why I need to get out of here, me and my kids.
So you're saying that you're saying that in terms of your life, the immediacy is you have to leave your premises and you have no place to go, so you're experiencing the sense of being homeless. because you're having to move now.
Yes.
Why are you having to move now? Can you share that? What's the...
Because my lease is up. And why would I set myself up for failure, you know, to stay here? When I was here, I was with someone who helped me pay the bills, but now I cannot afford it. So instead of setting myself up for failure, why would I? It's just not a good situation.
Andrea, just to be clear, if you stay in this, you say your lease is up, do you have to re-sign a year lease, or will they allow you to be month-to-month at all?
I don't know. Again, I cannot stay here because even if I sign a month-to-month, I wouldn't be able to afford it right now. That's
okay.
Why...
Let me just ask you a couple of questions. You're in a tight spot. Okay, and I've got to figure this out. So let me ask you, first of all, do you have an aunt?
Do I have an aunt?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what is her connection with you? Or your
I have a lot of aunts. I don't know which one.
Well, which one is... Which one would listen to your story with the most compassion and the best accommodation? I'm not suggesting anything yet. I'm just on a trail of thought.
Actually, I don't know any aunt that would listen to my story.
So you've exhausted. Have you exhausted all your resources in the family background here?
Yeah, because my family is not that kind of family, like, that would help. They don't help. But I have found a program that would help me move. What is my problem is I can't find a gosh darn house.
You can't find a house. Well, I'm telling you what I'm trying to do, Andrea, on the line is I'm trying, now listen to me carefully, I'm trying to use a symbol of an aunt in order to find your home. It's my own madness of a method, if you will, by drawing associations in my mind. This is all my private thought. It may not make sense to you, but I work sometimes in a ducky, wacky way. So I'm going to try to figure out why I would have to use the vibration of that word, aunt, to formulate a passage where I feel that there's a home for you. I am seeing it doesn't look like a great home, but I am seeing a kind of home that looks kind of yellow, color kind of yellow. At least it would be an abode for you. So I'm starting to formulate that. It seems to be near some kind of center where people go for services or welfare or something. It's not too far away from there, but it's enough off the beaten track to not be directly in line with the inner city experience, but it does seem to be on the outskirts a little bit. And I don't know, maybe I'm conjuring up something that does exist, maybe I'm conjuring up something that will exist. So I'm putting that notion out for you for a while. I also want to ask you, is there anything in your household in terms of toys, utensils or anything, art objects that would look like, the head would look like a horse? It could even be a child's toy.
A head look like a horse?
Yeah, like a horse, like the old-fashioned stick horses where you rode them as a kid and they had a head of a horse, but it was like really
a... No, not that I can think of right off the bat.
That's crazy, isn't it? I don't know what it means yet, but I work so deeply in symbols and objects and things like that I never turn my back on something when someone says no. I still keep a hold of the image because there's something about it. it's really weird, Andrea. Maybe just by the formulation of my language, I'll create something in time. But it's almost like, you know, there was an old show and the horse was named Pokey. The little clay
Gumby.
Character was named, huh?
It was Gumby, right?
Gumby
and Pokey?
Gumby and Pokey. At least I'm making you laugh. I don't know why, but there's a horse energy. I don't know what it means yet. It could be a spirit animal guide, but I'm getting this idea of a horse. Now, what you should probably do, Andrea, is see if anybody, without your prompting, comes up with the word horse, and they just say it off the top of their head or they're involved in a conversation, it may be a sign that what I'm giving you now has finally reached some form of destination for you. We've got a tough tackle here to try to find a home for you, and I'm trying my best. So what I'm doing is I'm conjuring up a Merlin stew of energy to try
okay.
to figure out to get you to this place of this house. Okay?
Yes.
So we'll see what happens. What do you have, three children?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because I'm picking up three children. All right. Is there anybody yet in this lifetime around you, or has there been anybody named Kevin or Ken or with a K?
There has been someone around me named Kevin a long time ago.
Can you, in a nutshell, give me the definition of the person, what he was all about?
He was someone I went to school with, and we dated a long time ago when we went to school, but when I met back up with him, it wasn't anything more than that.
Okay, well, I'm getting a vibration of something that I'll work with over time for you, Andrea. I haven't pieced all the... I'm Sherlock Holmes right now. I haven't pieced all the pieces together, but I'm getting some clues that might be of assistance to you, given the fact that you're in a really tough spot. So you're not... This isn't an easy one for me to unravel, but on my Sherlock Holmes hunt, I'm trying to gather clues, and I'll promise you I'll keep working with them as time goes forward to help you get into that house as soon as possible.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, and Andrea.
Keep us posted.
Yeah, keep us posted.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for your call. And it doesn't sound like things are too fun for her right now, but it's interesting because there's been a lot of transition energy on this show, people with issues of moving and changes in jobs, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, life isn't always easy. We're here to figure out the complications of energy as much as we are the simplicities of it. And so when we reach a complicated matter, such as in Andrea's case, that's what we're here for, to try to figure out how to bust through some of the thickness of her karma, because this is certainly a karmic situation she's in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Neil, we are just about out of time, and I want to invite everybody to join us tomorrow on our Out the Z-Room show. This is the show where we discuss your books and novels. I think we'll be discussing a different novel tomorrow, aside from G-Day, which we've discussed.
Oh. Great.
Right?
Okay. That's good.
I guess I'm picking the format of the show.
I didn't even know.
And we're back on the air next week at 10 a.m., I suppose, on the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. Tomorrow's show, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And we thank you all for joining us today. And thank you, Neil, for your services. And thanks to our callers for their calls. We appreciate it, and we will see you tomorrow, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Goodbye. Thank
you. Good night.
You.
You're apparently in a different time zone today.
Maybe. There's archives, so maybe I'm right on there.
All right.